received my PhD, having taken special courses in philosophy and education, I had written a treatise titled Education Among the Early Hebrews, with emphasis on the Talmudic period.
What year was this?
I would say about 35, 36 years ago. I could look up at the diploma, what year it was.
39?
Less than that. Oh, you said 39. I thought you meant 39 years ago. Oh,
yeah. 1939.
About that. I could look at that. And I have been invited as a visiting lecturer in the Graduate School of Education at Pitt University. But I don't. The founding of the Hillel Academy. I had a very dear friend, Mr. Adolf Schoenblum, a member of our congregation, who once posed the following question. Rabbi Shapiro, I notice that you are not exactly satisfied and happy. What is disturbing you? And I said to him, Adolf, living in a community where I feel there isn't much of a future for Jewish life, how can I be happy? I'm not thinking in terms of myself, but the future of Jews and Jewesses here. And I went on to explain to me one of the most important matters to be able to preserve Judaism is knowledge of Torah. And unless you're going to have that, you can't keep on relying on what people knew at one time, but what people know and people will know. He was, to say the least, quite moved by this and offered me this proposition. He says, how about my taking you to any place where you would like to visit a school that you are thinking of should be in Pittsburgh? I'll take you with my machine. And I told him at the time, the closest to Pittsburgh at that time was Cleveland. And we came there, spent some time in this particular school. And from there on, a few meetings were held with various people. And the nucleus for Hillel Academy was established.
Could you mention some of the people?
Amongst the laymen, served as the chairman of the education committee since its inception. We started off in Motherfield Apartments, in the showroom. There we started with a preschool class. We, in order to acquire students for it, we went around to the parents of those children who had been attending our early or preschool Sunday religious class. And when, for instance, we were told by some parents, well, we don't want to be guinea pigs, my answer to them was, you won't have to be a guinea pig at all. If you are not, your child cannot enter the public school now because they're not of age. Why don't you let them come for a half a year? We were going to open school in January, late January. By September they will be of age, but now they can't enter even if they wanted to. Why not give it a try? And then if you're not satisfied, you are perfectly at ease to just draw them out. And we thought between the two of us that if you can get about 18 children to start this one class, then we'll open school. Of course, we needed a teacher. And I was fortunate then to have gone to New York and engaged a teacher there who was like an angel for this school. She was an outstanding teacher. She loved the children and the children loved her. She accomplished a great deal. Her first name was Leah. So devoted. By the time a week passed, that enrollment from 18 climbed to 32, because these children would come home and tell their parents and tell their little friends next door and so on what a wonderful teacher Hillel Academy has. And so that these extra children came in, it didn't take more than a week, but we had to close the registration. We didn't have any room for them. Then we went to Ellsworth. And from Ellsworth we came to Beacon. And then the home next to the elementary school, the little academy, was purchased. Well, the last one who lived there was Dr. Hirsch. Yeah. And it was through the graciousness of Mr. Abe Oettinger, who had contributed $50,000, that made possible the Abe and Helen Oettinger High School of the Hillel Academy. Also, Harry N. Morris was among those who had the inception of the building for Hillel Academy at the very outset, was very active. Another individual who became active at an early stage was Dave Horowitz. The channel we employed through which to secure, rather procure, a principal for the school was Torah on the Soda. A national organization located in New York, which has been responsible for the creation of some 130 plus all-day schools throughout the country. Many of our teachers on our staff were likewise procured through Torah Mosoda. From out of town. At this point, we have some teachers who themselves were former graduates of Hillel Academy. The student body of Hillel, as it stands today, including the elementary and high school, numbers some 325 plus students.
And it's funded.
The means of sustaining itself is firstly through tuition. Of course, those who cannot afford tuition are accepted on scholarships which have been established by various individuals of our community, and allowances are made to the extent of their ability to pay what they can pay. The federal government assists chiefly with food, which can be used at the lunch periods conducted daily. As far as the United Jewish Federation is concerned, the school that is Hillel Academy has been a recipient. Being assisted by them only as far as the Hebrew studies are concerned, it is hoped that in the none too distant future that they will augment and increase considerably the amount that they have been giving recently. One of the fundamental Torah laws pertaining to marriage. Are the laws known as, spell it for you, capital M-I-K-V-E-H and capital N-I-D-A-H. In order to take proper care for after the period of Nida, the mikveh must be used. We began after leaving the hill section where the mikveh were two mikvaos, M-I-K-V-O-O-S, were established. We began then to construct a mikvah.
Could you speak a little louder?
Yes. We began to construct a mikvah in the Oakland section, which was at that time the center of Jewish residence in Pittsburgh.
Do you know when that was?
This was about 30 years ago. For the past few years, we built one, we constructed one in Squirrel Hill.
Where is that located?
Which is located at the corner of Shady Avenue and Pittock Street. In the course of World War II, many of the young men of our congregation served in the United States forces here and abroad. Correspondence by mail was carried on, and in our bulletins, which were sent to the membership at large, greetings were always dispatched to these boys in service. It was gratifying to know that they felt at home by receiving these notices from time to time. When the war was over and the boys were coming back, our congregation hosted at the time a welcome to these boys. The late Mayor David Lawrence. Formed a committee when stationed WQED was established on Fifth Avenue near the Cathedral of Learning. The committee consisted of laymen and clergymen. The laymen, in turn, representing various fields of human endeavor, and the clergy representing the religious forms which were to be either seen or heard at the station from time to time. The subject principally that I spoke on when visiting Pitt University Graduate School of Education was to show how the Talmud was vitally interested not only in subject matter for studies, but also methodology as well. The majority of the students who attended these lectures were either principals or superintendents of different schools in the suburbia. I don't know that states have amalgamated with the older group known as Mizrahi and are referred to now by the initials RZA, which stand for Religious Zionists of America. In Israel proper, however, the most of the kibbutzim are under the auspices. Most of the religious kibbutzim are under the auspices of the Hapoel HaMizrahi, while many yeshivos are the products of the Mizrahi.
The Mizrahi supports what in particular?
In particular, they support Jewish education, and also they do support kibbutzim. It's about 10 years ago.
Where did this take place?
It took place in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. There was other recipients from the country, but...
Could you tell us about why that happened? When did it happen?
Well, this was quite an honor.
Yes.
Bestowed upon other recipients besides myself. And it is, I believe, still carried on annually.
Would you name it on there because they won't get my voice? Would you say what it was we were discussing? I don't have it on the tape.
Oh.
You were one of the...
Yeah. It was my privilege to have been one of the recipients of the Rabbi Isaac Herzog. Go.
Yeah, Isaac Herzog Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Gold medal.
Gold medal.
For dedicated service to religious Zionism.
For dedicated service to religious Zionism.
Was it for your overall work or a particular?
It was for in general.
In general.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone else from Pittsburgh?
From at that one, no.
Have been from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
But others had to receive before
yes.
and after, yeah.
In 1953, Rabbi Shapiro was honored by Congregation Poetzedek and honored with life tenure. And he is now serving as Rabbi Emeritus at this time. The congregation built an educational center adjoining the synagogue in his name called the Rabbi Dr. Joseph Shapiro Educational Center.
Some 7 years ago, what is known now as the Talmudical Institute of Pittsburgh and referred to as Yeshiva, Yeshivah, Gedolah, Gedolah, was established. Rabbi Yitzchak Alster, ALC, came as the Rosh HaYeshiva. And formed a staff of competent teachers for the students. The yeshiva is located on Bartlett Street between Muddy and Shady, between Muddy and Whiteman, I beg your pardon. The dormitory is on between Muddy and Shady. Yeah.
And how many students?
To date, there are approximately some 90 plus students.
After the high school years, this is...
Well, they already have their own high school, too.
They do?
Yeah.
And do they have students from all over the country, or are these mostly local?
They have some local and many from out of town. Yeah. And have their own dormitory, too. Many years ago, it was brought to our attention that in Pittsburgh there does not exist any school under the auspices of the Jewish community to take care of the mentally disturbed children. first class began in our educational center. The Pitt University was greatly interested in this enterprise. As other organizations likewise were. Under competent teachers and advisors, the school began to progress remarkably well.
Who were some of the people who worked with you on getting going?
There was Dr. Levinson, Julian Levinson, who had spoken with me before we embarked on this most worthy undertaking. The school was open to children of all religions. I recall very vividly how during the first few days after school opened, what havoc was created by some of the students. But it did not take long, under the supervision of such competent teachers, psychologists and psychiatrists, to detect a most noted change for improvement. To say the least, this was very promising. I also recall how about a year after it existed, a physician was delegated from a community in the South to visit our school and to find out its plans of progress, with the intention of going or returning to his town in the South and building a similar school. I also remember very vividly that this school, like most schools of this type, were a blessing not only to the children, but to the parents as well. Until this time, before the school opened, parents would be perhaps kept in their houses watching over these children every day of the week. A social hour was introduced for these parents of these children to meet here in the social hall about educational center, and to relay the experiences of this past week pertaining to their own child. Thus, not only did the child begin to live, but some of the parents also. Most gratifying was the fact that it didn't take long for one or two of these students to be transferred to the regular public school system. The school now, at present, is located on the north side.
But is it still called the Polizetic?
No.
Oh.
But the remain has called the Polizetic only as long as they were housing. But they outgrew the quarters. When the quarters here at Polizetic were not adequate to be able to take care of more students, the school then was transferred to the north side.
How was that funded?
Well, there was a tuition at that time, but it didn't, of course, cover the expenses. Now I understand that the state, as well as federal, it comes to the systems, or they were trying to get them to come to the system. In answer to the question, how do you view your accomplishments, successes, and failures? Let me begin by saying that one should not necessarily feel that he has accomplished anything or succeeded in anything. Because the terms accomplishments and successes are very, very vague. What one may consider to be an accomplishment may be far from being such by another individual. To me, accomplishment means having made some human beings feel a little happier than they were before. It means to me to be able to bring a smile on the face of an individual who has almost forgotten how to smile. To me, accomplishment means to be able to communicate with human beings and their communicating back in turn. It has always been my firm belief that no one should live for themselves, but to want to live and live for others. This the Almighty teaches us through nature, one of God's agents. The flowers are beautiful, not for themselves, but for us who are privileged to be able to look at them. To me, this is the goal of life. If we can take man, who is a composite of heaven and earth, his physical shell having been created by God through at the time when he created Adam, he created that shell from the dust of the earth, but he breathed into him a neshama, a divine spirit. And if we can take that which came from earth and to be able to elevate it at least to a higher degree than it was before with human beings, to me, this is something of an accomplishment and something of a success. Naturally, when one speaks in terms of failures, one must take cognizance of the fact that what I regard as a failure may not necessarily be looked upon as such by a second individual. But I would therefore say that the common denominator for failure as a definition should be when one does not accomplish that which I had spoken of previously.